In November of 1830, there was a young sister who belonged to St. Vincent de Paul's Missionaries of Charity, named Catherine Laboure, who had a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It was a very particular vision. She was outlined in an oval frame. She stood tall with 12 stars, making the halo over her head, 12 representing the 12 apostles of Christ. She was in white and blue, and from her hands came graces that came upon the world. She stood on the globe, and under her feet, in deference to a portion of today's first reading, in which God said to the serpent, "The woman's offspring's heel will crush your head," Mary's foot is on the serpent as she stands upon the earth. And she asked Sister Catherine to take that image and stamp it on a medal for devotion to her. And that image is what we know as Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. It's a particular image of Mary, which we see now on the medal, which spread very, very rapidly, so rapidly that it is referred to as the Miraculous Medal, an oval-shaped medal with that image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And outlying the frame of the medal is the prayer, "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." And it's a very popular invocation of the Blessed Virgin Mary of the Vincentian community of priests, brothers, and sisters. "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." Catherine communicated all this through her spiritual director, and it was her spiritual director who actually coordinated the stamping and distribution of the Miraculous Medal. It's interesting because in an age in which we seem to have someone screaming that they saw an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary on any dirty window or any unusual lump of chocolate to come out of a factory or on the shadows of a blank billboard, Catherine went 40 years telling no one that she was the young sister who had that vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Her spiritual director naturally did not reveal that, only the message that had been given. It was only on Catherine's deathbed that her spiritual director, at the request of the superior of Catherine's order, encouraged Catherine to let it be known that she, in fact, was the one who had this vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary. How many of us would be able to remain silent for 40 years if we were in Catherine's shoes? We now honor her as Saint Catherine Laboure. A couple of decades later, another saint, Bernadette Soubirous, had a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Lourdes. Also a French girl, she recognized that particular vision of the lady because Bernadette apparently was wearing a miraculous medal when she saw the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary at Lourdes. And when she asked the lady, at the request of her bishop, "Who are you?" the lady did not answer, "I am Mary, the mother of Jesus." In the event of Our Lady of Lourdes, the lady answered, "I am the Immaculate Conception." The popularity of that image, the popularity of the medal, eventually resulted in the bishops and the church in the United States claiming Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception as the patron saint of the United States, the patroness of the United States of America. And if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., I hope you have also visited the shrine at Catholic University to Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. It is the largest church in the United States, and it is something to behold. The shrines, the decorations, the scriptural references, the images, all references to the Blessed Virgin Mary. But it's actually intriguing because you have images, shrines, chapels, all throughout, from all around the world. And on the one hand, you want to say, well, this is ridiculous. There's only one Mary. How many images of Mary do we need to have in one church? Until you remember that as a symbol and model of the church, Mary reflects the face of the church. Our Lady of Guadalupe, what does she look like? She looks like an Aztec princess. In many of the images we see coming out of Africa, she looks like an African woman. In many of the images that come out of Europe, what do you know? She's blonde and blue-eyed. She is the face of the church, being the symbol and model of the church. And appropriately, in such a pluralistic, culturally diverse, ethnically diverse country as ours, forget nationality, the various states we see in the various regions have different cultures in a plurality of a nation that has among its mottos a pluribus unum, out of many, one, an appropriate patroness for this country. Also appropriate, I think, is, in case we haven't forgotten, it was a month ago to the day that our nation had a rather contentious, to say the least, election. In the midst of our Congress and governors and other leaders, the presidential election got our attention, caused a great deal of excitement for some and consternation for others, and a great deal of discouragement for some, as if we've never seen this in our country, which we do. Elections are divisive. Elections are groups campaigning. Elections are agendas. And during this transition time, as a nation, we have a chance to calm down, regroup, and prepare for a new leadership in our nation. Many among some Catholics, other clergy that I've known, even one of our local bishops, had suggested after such a contentious election, they're wondering if perhaps we should have a grandiose prayer service or mass for healing after the election. Obviously, they've never read any history of the United States and their elections seasons. But on the other hand, we could ask, why do we even need one? Because it is after every election, pretty much a month after that election, in this case, a month to the day after the election, that we turn to our patron saint in the midst of this transition. We turn to the one whose patronage we look to as a nation, and we ask her intercession for this country. What more do we need to achieve healing and unity, prosperity and peace as a nation? A patroness we pray to on this day every year, and every 2 years on the weeks following an election, which occurs at the beginning of November, and every 4 years after a presidential election. Who better to ask prayers for this country than Our Lady? And we remember her title as Immaculate Conception, and we put our nation into her prayerful care. Ours is a great nation. Ours is a nation of great leadership for our world. We continue to pray that our nation will be a model of justice and peace for all, as well as freedom and liberty throughout the world. And yes, we know our nation was not conceived immaculately, but we are a nation who can see the shortcomings with which we were founded and recognize our history in which we overcame those shortcomings. As a nation, we can see our shortcomings and our sins right now and have the hope that as a nation, we will overcome them, because we have always managed to do so as a nation. And so on this day, we turn to the Immaculate Conception. As a church and as a nation, we pray that our patroness will continue to intercede for our nation, and especially in this season, as we prepare for that great transition of administrations of presidents and the other new leaders that have been elected for our country in the weeks and the months ahead. Regardless of whatever side we may have taken in the election, regardless of what our feelings might be, whether we're absolutely elated in the midst of somewhat some consternation, cautiously optimistic, or eagerly looking forward to what lies ahead. Let us place our nation in the prayerful hands of Our Lady, and ultimately in the hands of the will of God. And as a nation, as a church, we turn to the Immaculate Conception as we pray, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to Thee.